Amén. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Yevida roseta katilaste gavalas antante etos antete. Okay, so a man is not a Christian because he is steadfast spiritually. No, no. Our salvation, part 16. So it's not like first and second service. I simply have more things to discuss in that. So a man is not called a Christian because he is steadfast spiritually. That's not why we call a man a Christian. A Christian is any man that has believed and confessed that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sin. That is the strict perimeters of Christianity. A man is not a Christian because, so you see a lot of people going to other churches, not, and they don't have the same purity you have, they don't have the same zeal you have. Don't count them as not belonging to the body. But Bible says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who we have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants them to simply come up in knowledge. But the strict perimeters of salvation is a man that has believed in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus for sin. That's the strict perimeters of who a Christian or who a believer in Jesus is. So anyone not found in this circle of faith is an unbeliever regardless of how good he is. That is why salvation is a crucial topic that we must not joke with. If you are not found in that circle of faith, you are an unbeliever, no matter how good you are. A man that lives all his life as an Enoch, you don't have one single boyfriend or girlfriend, but yet you reject the gospel, is hell-bound, unless he repents. Hell-bound. That is why in the same parallel, a man too is not called a Christian or a saint because he does things that are always acceptable to God. No. No. A Christian is heaven-bound irrespective of his post-salvation deeds. Works and steadfastness, beliefs and unbeliefs, irrespective of his post-resurrection deeds, works, steadfastness, beliefs, or unbelief. I read that Galatians 3 verse 1 for you in Message translation. He said, you crazy Galatians, did someone put an egg on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened. Sorry, I'm reading the Bible. It says, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a egg on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it is obvious that you no longer have this crucified Jesus in clear focus in your life. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. That's the Message version of Galatians 3 verse 1. So now you see these Christians, they are already deviating from what Christ has done. They once believed in the sacrifice of Jesus, but they are now back to the laws and they drifted from Christ. But see what Paul said about them in Galatians 3 verse 26. First, Paul reproved their conduct, but their unbelief didn't take away their status. See Galatians 3 26. Want to go? For you are all children of God by what? By faith. Say by faith, not by steadfastness. So their subsequent unbelief does not nullify the salvation they once received. See, let's read verse 27 together. Want to go? 27, want to go? For as many of you baptized into Christ are put on Christ. So that baptism is by the Spirit. It's not by water. Amen? When a man gets baptized into Christ by the Spirit, not when you are taken to a water to dig you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No. I've told you that Matthew 28 was mostly an error in translation. Nobody prayed or did anything in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father gave us one name, the name of Jesus. The Spirit testifies about just one man. It testifies about Jesus. Praise God. So, notice the word baptized here in that 27 is used in the past tense. There are as many of you that are baptized. So, their current unbelief can't nullify or reverse the eternal life they add since the day they believe the gospel. Salvation is just once before God. Say just once. Say just once. You can't undo it. You can't reject it once you have accepted it. I mean, your choice to die becomes inactive. Once a man receives salvation, your choice to die becomes inactive because you have received eternal life. Just like what the Bible calls agora, which in the Bible days they call the slave market. During those slave times of slave trade, you see a man goes to the slave market, pays a price, buys a slave. Sorry, who is hot here? You don't like hot. Amen. Praise God. Put it on the lowest. That's too. Put it on the lowest. So a man goes to the slave market, buys what do you call it? Buys a slave and puts a mark. After buying the slave, he puts a mark on the slave. So that what? Everybody will know this slave belongs to me. So from that time, the life and the death of that slave belongs to the man. The slave has no choice. If he says, let's go, and the slave says, I'm not going, they will carry him. They will put something in his leg, drag him home. That is actually one of the words used for redemption, which is agorazo. Because Jesus went to the slave market, he bought us with a price. But the good thing about you is that he didn't buy you from slavery to slavery. Hallelujah. He bought us from slavery into sonship. But don't forget, you are bought. So, and a man that will take the slave from the original owner will have to pay a price greater than what the original buyer paid. So, how do you outpay the price of the blood? How do you outpay? Because a man, let me say it this way, a man that will take you out of from God right now, that will take your salvation from you, must pay a price of Jesus, to take you from Jesus. What was the price that was paid for our redemption? The blood of Jesus. So you must give Jesus back his blood. In fact, you know, you must put some interest. Praise God. And don't forget, I said in those days, they put, I don't know if you watch Dear Avengers, that guy, what did they put on TV that went to Wakanda? They would put a mark on their neck. So same way, a man bought from the slave market so that it can be clearly identified as belonging to this new owner. They will put a mark on him. This is my own mark. This is my own trademark. What is the mark on us today? Say we have the Holy Ghost. Say price has been paid all my life. Say no escape route. Romans 6:18. Let me read from Good News Bible here. Romans 6:18. It says, you are set free from sin and you became slaves of what? Righteousness. Say, I've been set free from sin. I'm a servant of righteousness. Verse 18. This CEV says, now you are set free from sin and you are slaves who please God. Say my life, please God. So a man that has once believed the gospel has been bought and brought eternally into Christ. Now, quickly rush to Revelation chapter 3. Let's just see one scripture that people usually use to say that believers can get rejected. No, I think very soon I will really change. When I'm now getting a bit more particular, I will now share the topic clearly from our salvation to in defense of eternal salvation. But that's what we are actually doing. Just in this church, I promise you, we're going to have more than 150 messages, just salvation. So after that, anybody that wants to go to hell, let him go. So Revelation 3:16. Want to go? Let's read it. Yes. Again, everybody, Revelation 3:16, want to go? So then, because thou Okay. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth because you are neither cold nor warm. You are lukewarm. Well, this is the point. What is this talking about? This is the verse that a lot of people use for. We are going to look at all those things. Everything you think about, we see it in this series. So it will be a series that you can pick it and say that this one will explain Bible salvation to you. Hallelujah. Okay, so people read this one, they forget verse 20. Let's read verse 20. Want to go? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh. So who will Jesus reject? Who will he pull out? Check. Hold on. Don't conclude too quickly. Check from verse 14. To whom is the letter written? Is this letter written to you? That's the first thing you must remember. Before you say, no, before we reach 20 to say that, okay, it's the man that has not believed the gospel, that Jesus will pull out, that I stand at the door, I knock, if you refuse to open. Let's see it. Verse 14. Want to go? And unto the angel of the church of what? Laodiceans. Okay. No, I shall use my Yoruba accent to pronounce it at times. Funny man. Write these things, said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. So now that the word angel there is the Greek word angelos. Just write angel, LOS plus LOS. It means a messenger. A messenger. And in the context of Revelation 3, he's talking to the pastor. The pastor or the leaders in the church of Laodiceans. Same way, remember in Colossians that say ye to Archippus that you take it to the ministry that you have received of the Lord, that you fulfill it, right? So, the same thing that God was telling the pastor. See that 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Anyway, I'm this slow today. Do you like it? Or I should turn to my new master. Nigeria does not like it. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. I have planted. It's because we are not yet discussing the book of Job. When we get back to Job, I will regain my. Yes, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Want to go? We'll read from 6 to 17 together. Want to go? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8, now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? See, according to his labor. Good. Verse 9, want to go? For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builder thereon. But let every man take it how he build. Hold on. Which foundation is Paul saying he has laid there? Is it just to the Corinthian church? Or about the epistles? But context anyway, it should be Corinthian church. Okay, verse 11. Want to go? For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus. So which foundation did Paul lay? Is it his own personal foundation? No, Jesus. So when Paul said, my gospel, he's not talking about, I have a separate gospel. Is Paul's gospel is the gospel of Jesus. Verse 12, now if any man, yes, build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall what? Declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved. Yet so by what? But he shall suffer loss, right? Okay, see verse 16 now. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 17, want to go? Now, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple? Hallelujah. Praise God. So the man that will be destroyed in verse 17, why will he be destroyed? He defied the temple of God, right? And from that context, how do you defy the temple of God? By what? Presenting other foundations apart from the foundation of Jesus by laying on, sorry, on the foundation of Paul by putting other things there. And and how will they be destroyed? From verse 14, 15, how will it be destroyed? It will have no reward. It's not talking about are we annihilating. It's not talking about hellfire. Okay? It will have no reward. Now, so God is not only knocking the heart of man so that we can get saved, but also much more so that his servant can be correct in doctrine. The knocking of verse 20 is not talking about salvation. He's talking about he's knocking the heart of his servant so that he can be correct on doctrine. All the reproof to the seven churches in Revelations is talking about doctrine. Church must get it right on doctrine. And according to church history, all other churches, all those churches, they actually didn't take those reproofs serious. And in all those churches in the Minor Asia, and history told us that they all went into extinction some years after this, which is sad. We heard that countries like, I mean, the regions like Ephesus is the current day Turkey that are most predominantly Muslims. And those are the efficient of those days. They now start doing structure, doing paparazzi, doing big things. So go back to Revelation 3:15. So see, let's now see what Jesus was reproving these people for. He's not talking about salvation. So the rejection, I will spew you out. I will reject your works. I will reject your labor. Because see the labor they are trying to build. Revelation 3:15. One to go. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wound that thou art cold or hot. 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou seest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye slave, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah. That is Tyrol, right? Eye slave. What is eye slave? That's Tyrol makeup. So these people are using physical things to quantify spiritual growth. Rather than, that was what was happening to them. See, they are saying, I have increased with goods, I have need of nothing. They don't know that because you have everything except the real essence of Christianity. They are using what? So I said, write that down. They are using physical things to quantify spiritual growth. So it's not about salvation. No man gets pulled away in salvation. The issue is not about the wrongdoings of man. That one he was talking about doctrine. Say doctrine. Say doctrine. It's important in Christianity. Say doctrine is important to Jesus. Very important to him. So the issue is not about the wrongdoings of man in Christ. The issue is that a unique price has been paid for man. God will correct the Christian. He will make him better daily, but he will never reject or evict him. Because that was the plan he made to save you. In the plan, when God was planning salvation, he planned the certainty with it. Ephesians 1 verse 6. Okay, don't worry. He will never reject you because it is his plan. It is his plan. Ephesians 1 verse 6 in David translation says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the beloved. He has made us accepted. He has taken us into favor. Say, I'm into favor. So salvation is not just about saving the sinner by mercy or favor. this microphone, is about receiving the sinner into mercy and favor. It's not just about saving by favor. It's about receiving the sinner in favor. Are you with me? They have been received into mercy and favor. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. Songs of Solomon, 2 verse 4. Okay, KJV, let's take it together. Want to go? Yes. He brought me into the banquet and his banner over me. Let me read CEV translation for you. He said, you led me to your banquet room and showered me with love. So the walls around you right now is love, mercy, and favor. There is no escape route. No escape route. You are not just washed by the blood of Christ. Now you are in Christ. Let me say it again. You are not just washed by the blood of Christ. Now, I'm saying something. This is not just repetition. Now you are in Christ. Meaning you are inside that blood now. God knew you might still sin after you are saved. So after he saved you, he soaked you forever inside an aquarium full of the strongest ever detergent. Stronger than Omo or area. So God cannot even see your sin. He sees his blood. Hallelujah. See, I'm inside the blood. You are inside the fountain that washes sin without effort, without confession. You are inside the fountain that washes sin without effort and without confession. Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 verse 1. Want to go, everybody? Yes? There shall be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For what? Sin and... Say it's a fountain. Say you can't stop it. Say in that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanliness. So right now you are in Christ, in the blood, and that is the security that the Christian have. You are always inside the blood. Psalm 103 verse 9. You are always inside the blood. You are always inside the blood. You are not. You cannot be rejected. It's not somebody like you that gets rejected. Psalm 103 verse 9. I've been reading this so much in this church. Let me take it from Good News Bible this morning. He said, he does not keep on rebuking. He is not angry forever. Verse 10, he said, look at your Bible too. He does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongdoings. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sin from us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Read verse 10 again, KJV. You want to go? Thank you, Lord Jesus. He does not punish us as our sins deserve. So God does not give man that wages of sin. No. He placed the wages upon Christ. Rush to Isaiah 53 verse 10. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Are you there? Okay, let's take it together. 53:10. Want to go? Yes. See the way goodness put it. Say it was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. So he will see his descendants. He will live a long life, and through him, my purpose will succeed. So this is the purpose of God. Not just that you are saved, but that you are saved forever. Eternal salvation, eternal redemption, because of an eternal sacrifice. You have eternal justification, eternal righteousness, eternal life. Why? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is which type of life? Eternal. It's a gift, not a reward of your moral uprightness. And I don't understand when some Christians say God only paid for their past sins. You are denying redemption. Eternal redemption means eternal forgiveness of sin. I've told you another word for redemption in the Bible is what? Forgiveness of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wish that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That is just the meaning of eternal redemption. The fact that God is not counting sins against you. Praise God. So there is no account of sin anywhere. You are now inside reconciliation, not under sin imputation. If you don't know God like this, you cannot know God at all. It's either you know God like this or you don't know him at all. Hebrews 8 verse 12. Just 2 more scriptures, I will be done. Hebrews 8 verse 12. It's either you know God like this or you don't know him at all. To know God is to know how God forgives freely. Oh, thank you, Lord. Is to know how God forgives freely. How he forgives freely. Say freely. Say free. Hebrews 8, verse 12. How does your own version put it? Yes. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their iniquities. I will remember. Now, if you match this with what you were saying before, I love the way my message put this one. Please write this one down in your book. They will get to know me. They will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. They will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. Say we know God by knowing how he forgave us kindly. Say we know God by understanding how he forgave us kindly. They will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. By being kindly forgiven. Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. So you will never come into condemnation anymore. You will never. Not you. Not you. Lastly, John 5:24. You will never come into condemnation anymore. Just not you. Say not me. Say I can never come into condemnation anymore. Say I am far from condemned. Oh, yeah, I said, where? John 5, 24. Want to go? Yes? Okay. Let's wait for one another. When you come together to eat this bread, wait for one another. Okay, want to go, everybody? Yes? Verily, verily, I say unto you, my voice, believeth on him that sent me, as and shall not condemnation, has crossed from death. Let me read God's word, version for you here. He said, I can guarantee you this truth. Those who listen to what I say and believe in the one who sent me will have eternal life. They won't be judged because they have already passed from death to life. Be armed with this truth always. Be energized by this truth always. And be convinced of this truth always. Say always. Say always. Pray in tongues, everybody. Just pray in tongues. Always. 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 Always, always, always. Be convinced. Always. Be persuaded. Always. Hear it. Always. Always. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The balance, the valeros, togo vantilos, zatila zimpandas, tekan tatata. Oh, glory to God. Hear it always. Be convinced of this always. Be persuaded of this always. Hear it always. Hear it always. Always. Eternal salvation is always on my lips. I don't have any other salvation to preach. I don't have any other salvation to declare. This is a salvation that God and God alone gives. This is what the sinner needs to hear. Eternal salvation. Always. Always. Oh, glory to God. La sevo las te kepalandis to gavalandis sadada. Rosata kapala kozati kaposta kapala kazosh. O sakantora telanda maza pala mana masantana stogandinda. Oh, glory to God. Kosafa labizo vista kepala destogantidos.